Congratulate Sherry Arrington. She was the Teacher of the Month at Slayton High School, and so we're proud of that. She represents us well there in the school system. And also for prayer requests, now I'm not going to go through every person that has the virus and all of that because there's too many, but the ones that are extremely, you know, in the hospital would be Susanna Cisneros. Of course, she's not a church member, but she's Elvis' sister. She's been on a ventilator for several days. Valerie Alva's son, John Reynolds, is also in the hospital on a ventilator, and he has some pretty compromised health issues as well. And so those two clearly need a lot of prayer. Ed Moore passed away last night. Ed's been on our prayer list for some time. Ed's 93 years old. He's part of the Moore family here, and of course was experiencing kidney failure, and so he's gone to be with the Lord. And so pray for that family. We will be having a funeral, obviously, in the next few days. I have no idea how that's going to play out. We'll make it work, whatever it is. Pray for them. Guys, listen, I don't want to hear a word over here in this corner. Do you understand? Not one word. Thank you. And we'll be taking care of that funeral as well. So, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get right to the preaching. We'll get you guys out of here and get you home, okay? Father, we thank you for bringing us to the house of God this morning. Father, we understand there's adverse circumstances, but you're in control of everything. You have blessed us beyond measure, and we give thanks for each and every blessing along the way. Lord, we're treading new waters, but we trust with the leadership of your Holy Spirit we'll tread them well, and it will be out of them soon. And Father, I pray your blessings over each person listening at home, each person here in the auditorium, the children that are in the back being taught. And we thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people. We pray your protection over those that already have the coronavirus. Father, that you would allow them to not succumb to the symptoms or not succumb to it, Father. I pray, God, that those Susanna and John, both there in the hospital on the respirator, that you would be merciful, that you would bring them through this, Lord. We know they're very, very dire shape right now, and I pray your mercy. I pray your mercy on the Moore family. We thank you for them. I thank you for Miss Libby and the girls, Linda and Tracy and Debbie. Lord, they love their daddy, and I know it's a difficult time for them. Please be strong on their behalf. Father, I ask your anointing this morning. I pray that the steps that we're taking and the protocol that we're putting into place, Lord, would be done, it'd be very effective, Lord, in keeping your people in church, but also keeping them safe and giving people the confidence to be able to come to the house of God and not be jeopardizing their health. Father, we love you. I could pray all day. There's so much. We could pray 24/7, Father. There's so much. But time won't allow. We need to teach your word. I pray your anointing as I do so. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. How many of you love your church? Amen. I know that's unanimous. I know it's unanimous with those who are watching at home. And I think we all agree that we have a great church. We have a biblical church. We have a lively church. We have an effective church. And I believe that's more than just a sentiment that each one of us hold. I believe it's proven itself to be so. We have, over the last several months, we have been put through a trial. We continue to be so. Not any more of a trial than anybody else, probably, but a trial nonetheless. And it's during trying times that we find the depth of things. It's during difficult times that we find out how substantial we are or how superficial we are, and we discover what we're made of. And because in the middle of a pandemic, which, by the way, has caused many churches, sadly, to close their doors, many other churches to be reduced to just a minimum amount of ministry. Because we have weathered this so well, our church ministries have been hindered, yes, but we have remained very strong. And I think that's proof of the depth of our church, the depth of our commitment to the Lord. And by and large, we've kept our people together. Not necessarily everybody in the house of God. See, this time last week, this auditorium was almost full. We had built back up over the course of several weeks to the point that I don't know numbers. I don't look at numbers, but it was a very good crowd and had been for several weeks in a row. We've remained strong. Our giving through the entirety of it was not decreased, but it was increased. It seems that the fires of trials caused people really to step up and be more obedient to the Word of God in the way of giving than before. So that shows strength. That shows depth. We continue to have salvations and baptisms through the course of this thing. We've continued to see new faces, visitors, return visitors. And these are things overall that show our strength. Now, is there room for improvement? Yes. Have these things been hindered to a degree? Yes. We've had less salvations, less baptism. We've had certainly less attendance. We've had less new faces, return visitors, and this sort of thing. But as a family of God, we have remained strong. And that, listen to me, everybody at home, that is a testimony to who you are. That's a testimony to your commitment, your faithfulness, your dependability, and that's what's brought these results. Now, even more so than that, more than anything else, it's a testimony of the power of God in our lives. It's a testimony of what God will do with His people. So, friends, I know that you want to keep moving forward, certainly. I want to keep moving forward and glorifying God as best we can through this time. And so we're going to have to make adjustments, as we have this morning. From day to day, or from week to week, until this COVID situation is over. It could be 2 weeks from now. We're right back to where we were last Sunday. I hope so. But we just don't know. So I want you to notice something in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. The scripture says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the leadership of the church there at Ephesus, and he references the church as a flock. Of course, the idea of a flock is that of sheep, okay? A herd of sheep. A flock of sheep are always overseen by a shepherd. It's a shepherd that takes care of them. That's where I come in. God made me the shepherd of Bible Baptist Church, under shepherd, if you will. The good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the last couple of decades, certainly I did not appoint myself. If I had appointed myself, it would have been an utter failure all along the way. And I wouldn't still be here after 20 years if it had been a self-appointed situation. But it was a result of the Holy Spirit ordaining me to be the pastor of Bible Baptist Church for this time. And because it's under the leadership of God and ordained of God, we've experienced a lot of success. We've experienced a lot of good things. Just like any church throughout the land, any Bible-believing, God-fearing church that has a God-appointed pastor is going to experience success, is going to be an effective church. And so I don't in any way, form, or fashion lay claim to any of the successes that we've experienced, but just to say that, hey, it's God's church, and He's put His plan into place at this location in Slayton, Texas, and it works because God put it together. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 28. It says that we should, it says, feed the church of God. It's His church. And the way that church, notice again, let me read further. He says, it is the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Notice how it has been brought together through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He hath purchased us with His blood. Every Christian in this church is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and so we have assembled ourselves as believers together choosing to worship at this location, 525 West Panhandle, Slayton, Texas, and identifying ourselves as Bible Baptist Church. Blood-bought believers decided to worship in one location and join themselves together in fellowship and service to the Lord at 525 West Panhandle, and we call ourselves Bible Baptist Church. By the way, I like our first name, don't you, Bible? That's a pretty good first name. I like our middle name, Baptist. That's a good one. But I especially like our last name, Church. We're God's church. That means that we belong to Him. We're His flock, His blood-bought, heaven-bound flock of sheep. Now notice verse 28, the first part of the verse, he says, take heed. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Take heed means to be careful, to be cautious, to give attention to. In other words, this Bible or the scripture saying, don't take your leadership lightly. Take it serious. I'm expected as your pastor I've been placed in this position by God. I am expected to lead in the wisest, most effective way that I possibly can. And that's my intent. It's always my intent. So my decisions are not always perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and they often will be misunderstood. But you can know this, that I will always, always have and always will have the best interest of God's church in mind, have the best interest of every individual that makes up this church in mind. And so, for instance, today, we're having to take steps that are unusual. We're kind of getting used to changing things over the last several months. But by having our mask on, and I hope you feel comfortable with me having my mask off while I preach, but I'm so far distanced from you guys, it seems that it would be fine. I hope you feel comfortable with that. I won't spit on you, I promise you. I'm not preaching hard enough to spit on you, so. But by having our mask on and not embracing, not mingling, walking straight in, sitting down, having prayer, having preaching, closing in prayer, dismissing, and dispersing, we are able to safely continue to have the majority of, or many of, if you will, our people in attendance, like it's been in recent weeks. We can do that. We can have everybody still coming, but also not being at risk any more than you would be if you were going to the grocery store. What do you do at the grocery store? You get out of your car, you put your mask on, you walk in, you shop the aisles, and you get what you want, you go stand in line and you check out, you get in your car and you go home, and we do it all the time. So we can also put our mask on, or get in our car, drive to our church, put our mask on, walk in, sit down, don't have to embrace anybody, don't have to stop and mingle in fellowship, obviously be courteous, get the word of God, go home, and be safe. You see, we can do that. It's not any more risky than standing in line at the post office or the movie theater or wherever people go. And so that doesn't give us guarantees, but it does. We're taking a giant step in the right direction of keeping everything together, to keep God's church, the flock, if you will, together until this whole deal is over. It may be this way next week. I'm not sure. We're going to play it by ear. Probably will. It may be a month from now it's just still this way. We just don't know what lies ahead. Our leaders that I certainly consult with and discuss things with, I don't make all these decisions on my own. We'll keep our finger on the pulse of things. But you understand that it's yours and my cooperation and participation and understanding of this, that's going to be the key to our success. That we are unanimous on this, and we understand this, and we cooperate. Now, there are people that have not returned at all since the COVID deal hit. I respect that. I don't find fault with that. Everybody has to make their own choices. But if I can reason with you, those of you that have already chosen to return, there's no reason to stop. There's no reason to stop. If you know that you can walk, it's really up to you. If you know that you can put your mask on and walk in that front door and walk in here and sit down and be still for a few minutes and I'll get you in, we got you in, we'll get you out of here quickly, it's up to you. But the key to success in keeping the flock together is going to be each one of us doing everything we can. I want you to notice why we need to do this and why this is so important, because in the middle of the verse, in verse 28, he says, "And to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." To feed means to supply or to nourish or to furnish food. We know what feeding is. Friends, every time we show up here at our church, what happens? We open this book. We open the Bible. And we feed the bread of life. Every time. The Bible is at the center of each one of these meetings. And it nourishes each of us. It supplies us with the spiritual truths that we need in our life and prevents us from going spiritually hungry. I don't have to tell you this. I think we all know this and agree that a steady diet of God's Bible, God's Word, is what everyone needs. We agree on that. We understand that. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. So I want you to skip down a couple of verses and I'll show you something very interesting. Verse 32. Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He says, I'm turning you over as he's leaving here, folks. He's leaving them not knowing whether he'll ever see them again. He says, I turn you over to God and his word. I commend you to God's word. In other words, I put you into the care of God and his word. Paul knows that God's word will take care of those people. Paul knows that God's word will carry them through whatever they face. And it's able to, through that process, you'll notice it says to build them up. So God's word is able to build us up. What America needs now, American Christians need now, more than anything else, is to be built up. And it's God's word that'll do that building. To build up, to strengthen, to empower is what is implied there. Let me ask you this. What comes to mind when you hear the words build up? For me, a bodybuilder comes into mind. You guys have seen these fellas that are devoted to working out and lifting weights and eating right and to having a perfect body, and you see them and they flex and their muscles are rippled, they're built up. There's no body fat or anything else. They just stand there and flex, and it's just like muscle and just an epitome of strength. It's something like you would see if I were to pull my shirt off right now. That's the picture of Christianity that you and I should be looking for. To be fit like that. To be spiritually healthy, strong, and fit. And that's what God's Word does for us. We desperately need it. And you know what? Without God's Word, we're going to be spiritually puny. You know what comes to mind when I think about puny? Pee Wee Herman. Anemic. Some anemic-looking weakling, which probably would flee into the girls' restroom if somebody said, boo. That's the kind of thing that pops into my mind when I hear the word puny, and that's what you and I will become as Christians if we don't have a diet of God's Word, if we don't allow ourselves to be fed God's Word. I don't think that's the image you're looking for, is it? Or I certainly am not. That's not the image of Christianity that I'm looking for, this puny Pee Wee Herman looking Christian. I'm talking about I want to look like this strong, fit Christian. We need the Word of God to build us up. But there's a word in this verse that just really kind of blew me away when I studied it. And you find it on down in the tail end of this verse. He says, which is the word of God, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Now, we all know what that word inheritance means in the sense of receiving what has been left to us by our parents or our grandparents who have died. That's what comes to our mind. But in this context, it has somewhat of a different connotation to it. It means the portion or the share that we have coming to us right now. Every time we come to the house of God, we are fed a portion of God's word. We are fed a share of God's word. A spiritual meal is prepared for every service, and when we get there, when we arrive, we get our share of that meal. So I take it to mean that the word of God has a portion for every one of us, but I want you to notice the setting in which that portion is to be received by you and I. Verse 32, it says, to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Among who? Them which are sanctified. Who is that? Christians. Believers. It's telling us that every time we come together as believers and we open up the Bible, we're going to be getting our portion, we're going to be getting our share, and that will build us up. That will make us stronger. That will make us more able. That will make us healthier. Well, I want you to watch this. What if we're not here? What if we do not stay hooked to God's church? Then one particular Sunday, we don't stay hooked. We don't get our portion that day. Well, the next Sunday it comes a little bit easier. We don't get our portion that day. First thing you know, we're kind of getting used to it. We don't get our portion week in, week out. We're not getting our portion, and what happens? We're missing our nourishment. We're getting weaker. We're not getting the things that we need to become stronger as Christians. And if we do that many times in a row, we begin to show weakness in our lives. And if it continues, and it often does continue, we suddenly get in the habit of not being a part of God's church, and within short time, we are spiritually malnourished, weak Christians. Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I was the puniest, skinniest thing you ever saw in your life. When I was a freshman in high school, this is hard to believe, but in fact, when I was a freshman in high school, I weighed in for football at 107 pounds, freshman in high school. Baylor's my grandson, and he's 10, and he already weighs more than that. 107 pounds when I weighed in for football. People say, well, you didn't have any body fat. I didn't have anything on me. It looked like a carcass with a tarp thrown across it. I didn't have flesh, muscle. I didn't have anything going there. It was just straight up rack. I made Pee Wee Herman look like he'd been working out. I was puny. Now, I say all that to say this. The greater part of that was just simply genetics. We downers, just that's the way we are when we're young. We're just that my dad, everybody's that way. But another contributor, I am convinced, is the fact that food was always in short, not always, mostly in short supply when I was growing up. I lived between two houses at Goodnight, about a mile or two apart. One house was Sis and Tom's. There were no groceries in that house, folks. I'm telling you, we had Copenhagen, and that's it. And I could not gain weight on Copenhagen. I tried, but I couldn't. Grandma and Grandpa's house had food, but it was pretty much red beans, taters, and bread. And then whatever would come out of the garden, which I love the garden, but if that's all you got, it gets old. Whatever comes out of the garden in the summer. That's the basis of the food at their house. You did eat regular, but that's what you ate. That's not conducive to weight gain, okay? So why do I tell you all of this? I probably would have been a lot more fit.
I probably would have been, now obviously again, genetics had something to do with it. I probably would have been a lot more equipped to go play football as a freshman if somebody had been fattening me up with some protein and some beef and something very healthy and getting me there. Folks, we don't have to be spiritually puny. We're going to feed the meal here regularly at the house of God. Barring some mandate by the government, we're not ever going to shut the doors. So we feed a meal here every service, a feast, if you will. Not because I'm any great preacher, not because David is any great preacher, but just the simple fact that God's word is a feast. And it's going to be served, and people will have to come get their portion. You got to get your portion. If you miss your share, if you miss your portion, then that's nourishment that you're missing. And if you do that many times in a row, you're going to become malnourished. Now, I want to leave you with this last thought. And I told you you'd be in and out of here in 35 minutes. I want you to notice verse 29. Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Not sparing the flock means bringing harm to the flock. Okay? Anytime harm is brought to God's flock, the devil is behind it. Anytime people are drawn away from God's flock, the devil is behind it. You can know that. So don't think for one moment, that Satan will not use COVID-19 to weaken God's church, to do his best to weaken God's church. It's up to us whether we let it happen or not. Don't think for one moment that he won't use this pandemic to try to draw sheep away from the flock. Very subtly. He's not going to come grab anybody by the hand. Satan's smarter than that. He knows that we're not going to go if he grabs us by the hand and tries to just lead us straight out. He's going to draw people away, as this text says. He will hide himself in the shadow of a pandemic, and he will use fear. He will use social distancing to get us out of church. And then after we're out of church a time or two, as I've already said, we get used to it. It becomes a habit. And the first thing you know, we have been the very thing that this warns against. We've been drawn away. That doesn't have to happen to any of us. We can prevent this from happening by being sold out, committed to God's church. Sold out. This is my church. I will never detach. I will never allow myself to be drawn away, not one step. We're not going to have an altar call under these circumstances. Now, we might next week. We're going to see how the music program goes. But if anyone, when we dismiss from here, anyone wants to talk, I'll be in the back. We'll social distance. I'll have my mask on, and we'll go to my office, whatever. Or you can call me, or whatever you need to do. I do encourage you, folks. If you're at home, don't leave here saying, "Well, he's just going to gripe because we're not coming to church." That's not it. If you're not comfortable, then stay home, okay? If you are comfortable, get to the house of God. I'll tell you, there's a bunch of people not here this morning who's already had COVID and got well. So where's that fall? Get to the house of God if you have any confidence at all. We're providing, I've made mistakes along the way, but we're providing now an environment which is very safe. No guarantees, but it's very safe for you to get up and come to the house of God on Sunday morning. You can walk in, get fed the word of God, get your portion, get your share, walk out, get in your car and go home just like you'd run over to the store. Let me lead us in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I know, Father, that it's all in your hands. You're in control. I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding. I pray, God, for discernment. I pray, Father, that you'll be with every family that has a case of this virus in their family, perhaps multiple cases. I pray that you would just be merciful to your church. I know for a fact, Father, how much you love your church, enough that you purchased it with the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're blood bought. Father, we belong to you. Help us to be reminded of that and stay in our places. Father, I ask, God, that you put a shield of protection around our people, around this facility each time we gather. And Father, we pray for the Slayton Care Center. They're overrun, Lord, with residents, dozens of residents and staff that are dealing with this COVID. And with them, it is life-threatening at their age and with their health being the way it is. So please be merciful and spare each one of them out there. Father, bless our election coming up. We want your will to be done. We pray that you'll bless this Supreme Court appointment, that it would be done according to your will. Father, there's so much. Our nation's in trouble, such a mess, so much hate, so much division. Be merciful, please. I ask that you'll bless your people for their faithfulness this morning. For those that are watching at home, help them, Lord God, to see that they can have confidence coming back to the house of God from here on out. And we ask, Father, as we divide and conquer, that you'll help us to be the courageous, effective Christians that you want us to be in this lost world around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. Wednesday night, there will be no adult services. We're going to have our kids' services. Because kids go in school anyway, and most of our workers either work at the school or work around kids all day anyway, or are very active in jobs. So, and for the sake of continuity with these kids, because I'm telling you, I know we lose ground every time we miss a service with them. We're going to have just run our buses, teach our kids, and go home. Okay, that'll leave our most vulnerable church members away from the house of God on Wednesday night. We're going to stay hooked on Sunday morning for however long it takes to get past this, and then we'll be right back at our Sunday night and Wednesday night. Okay, you're dismissed. God bless you.